The Red Eye Radio Podcast is a service of Freightliner and Detroit.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. For Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, Mark Eisler, this is Red Eye Radio.
Yeah, it's Mark Eisler back with you again, and Gary and Eric will be back with you again Sunday night and Monday morning. I'm with you this week. I was with you in September, and I love doing this, and I love your calls. And by the way, I go with where you take me. So when we got on the topic of who you'd like to see running against President Trump, no matter which side you're on, to pick president, some of you are also naming the vice presidential choice, it evolved in, I don't know if it was even my idea, that, hey, who would you sit down and maybe have a cup of coffee or could have a Coke with? Because that, it's not that I'm trying to get you to get along with them as much as the way it used to be, that, you know, you have your politics, you have your views, and then there are still people, right? And you hope they're decent, but it just suggests the times we live in where people don't even want to sit down with the other side. You know, they're just so angry, right? I don't blame you after the Kavanaugh hearings. I wouldn't want to sit down with a Spartacus. I think he's gotten that name. We got to keep that going. Booker, Kamala Harris, what a piece of work she is. And the list, Pocahontas, right? The list goes on and on. So I get it. That's why I came up with Bernie Sanders, because I don't know. He's foolish as can be, in my opinion. But did he go to Brooklyn College where I went? I think he did. And if he didn't, he's certainly from New York City. And so I thought, you know, I could sit there with Bernie. Probably, maybe he would walk away when he heard my views. I don't know. Maybe they'd be intolerant. But let me know what you think, and let's go to Chad in Decatur, Illinois. Chad, you're on with Mark.
Hey, Mark. How you doing this evening?
Real well.
Can you hear me?
I can.
Well, that's good to hear. I would like to see Alec Baldwin run for president.
Did you hear that someone else had suggested that?
No, I didn't hear anybody else suggest that.
Yeah, yeah. How come?
Yeah, I would like to see that. I would also like to have a cup of coffee with him. I can't guarantee I won't shove the cup down his throat, but...
you guys are cheating. He hasn't announced. You're cheating. You got to follow the rules.
I know, but a lot of the people that you're bringing up haven't announced either. Pocahontas hasn't announced.
Okay, you're right. You got me there. So I won't say announced. Yeah. I'm trying to get out of this. Give me a chance. Those who are actively considering it, and we get have a pretty good guess. And I'm going to keep you on, but I want to read the list. It's not fair. So here's the list that I have, and it doesn't mean there aren't others. Like I forgot Bloomberg, so he'd be on the list. So there's Spartacus, Booker, Attorney General Eric Holder, Bernie Sanders, Pocahontas, Elizabeth Warren, Joe Biden, Kirsten Gillibrand. No one's mentioned her. I didn't know Chris Murphy from Connecticut was running. Governor Terry McAuliffe, former governor of Virginia, I knew that. I'd heard about Massachusetts Governor Deval Patrick. I didn't really remember Ohio Senator Sherrod Brown, but I should have known. New York Governor Cuomo, I knew about that. New Orleans Mayor Mitch Landrieu, I didn't know about that. Oprah Winfrey, now you could pick on me for that because she's really hasn't announced and is probably not going to run, so maybe she's off the list. Eric Garcetti, mayor in Los Angeles, where I am. Lawyer Michael Avenatti, he's certainly announced. Montana Governor Steve Bullock, no one even knows that he's a governor. So those are the people on the list. It doesn't mean you, and Bloomberg, you know, you could add certain people. So
Right. Don't
cheat by mentioning, you're cheating when you mention Alec Baldwin.
Right. Can I correct one thing that I've heard over and over and over tonight, though, and every other night?
Sure.
People that are saying this country is a democracy, do these people call a proctologist to do brain surgery? This is not a democracy. This country is a representative republic. This is not majority rules. Never has been. And I really wish people would stop doing that.
I did mention one night that I think I did that Ben Franklin, maybe I didn't, turns around to the lady, of course, and says, she says to him, it's very famous, what kind of government did you give us, or something like that. And he said, a republic if you can keep it. And you're right, most people may not know that.
Right. But yeah, it's you know, it, this is not majority rules, and that's you know, in all honesty, if it was, we may still have slavery, because at the time there were more people that wanted it than didn't.
All right, now you're on the spot. So who would you like to have coffee with?
Like I said, Alec Baldwin.
I think
that'd be kind of cool. Yeah.
Okay. You did say that. You're right.
You know, I'm going to stick with that, because like, I'm a disabled veteran from two different services, and I would just love to hear some of his rhetoric, and it'd probably just set me off.
Well, I can't let you leave without thanking you for your service. Thanks for what you've done.
Oh, thank you.
Absolutely. Have a great night.
My pleasure.
Absolutely. And let's go to Victor in Kansas City. Victor, you're on with Mark.
Fine. Good evening. My main topic is the prosecution of Hillary, Comey, and for the time, I can't remember the head of the CIA guy. If we don't prosecute these people for the crimes that they did, we're no better than a third world country. We're letting these people get away with what was wrong, illegal, unconstitutional, and basically all those things make them un-American. And if we don't take the people who commit treason and prosecute them for that, then they're going to keep their little followings that they're going to walk around. You got plenty of people out there that are saying that, well, you know, it evidently wasn't that bad. They didn't break the law. They didn't do anything that was so evil. And I just think that something needs to be done to show them. And along with all that, you know, freeze their assets, because they're ill-gotten gains in the Clinton Foundation. And, I mean, if we're going to go all out, go all in on Kavanaugh from 35 years ago, I'm sure we can find plenty of people and evidence for what Bill did back in the 80s. So, I mean, why can't we go that route?
Well, you can. And although someone challenged me and said, what about the Civil War, right? They committed certainly illegal acts at the time, and yet we were generous, and you know, Lincoln didn't want to do that kind of stuff.
But this isn't wartime. Yeah. This isn't people who actually are saying, the people who fought on the side of the Confederacy were fighting. This is, I have a different view on the Civil War than some people do. I mean, I understand that for some it was about slavery, but for most it was about overreach of the federal government and civil disobedience and states' rights. That's where the base is. There were a lot of people that were fighting on that. Okay, go ahead.
I was letting you finish. Go ahead.
Okay, no, but I mean, that's where to me, the rebel flag, the rebel, and actually it's not even really the rebel flag. It was a battle flag from a particular state. It took on a representation of states' rights. To me, that represents states' rights over slavery. And when I talk to people, and I've actually talked to people who have flown that flag or have had that symbol on their truck or whatever it is, and I ask them, I say, okay, now, what does that represent to you? And 9 times out of 10, it does have to do with, you know, states' rights and overreach from the federal government. And the people that take the other avenue as far as slavery and white supremacists and stuff like that, then I just, you know, okay, what makes you better than anybody else? Well, why are you better than that person? What gives you the right to enslave another human being? So, and I think this is also the difference between, and I'll dovetail here, the difference between conservatives and liberals. I won't go party-wise here, because parties are evidently irrelevant at this point. And that is, we engage in conversation. We engage in discourse. Defend your principles. Defend what your argument is. They just want to shout you down. They want to call you names. Now, that is not everybody in the Democrat Party. That is why I don't associate that with the Democrat Party. These are the left-wing way out there, which comes to who I would actually have coffee with. There's nobody really on the left politically that I could sit down and have coffee with. However, I have met George Clooney, and he's a really nice guy and very humble, and I could sit down and have a beer and a cigar with him or something. That would be cool.
Yeah, well, I appreciate your answering, and you guys are not following the rules.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, it's okay. Well, there's nobody on the political left I would want to sit down and have, except for Lieberman. Somebody said Lieberman. I would love to sit down and talk to Lieberman. As far as people who I would like to see.
Yeah.
No. You said, who's running?
Yeah.
Well, I know that there's somebody who's actually discussed running, or who yet used to be a rising star who no longer, I think, is a viable candidate, and that'd be Jerry Brown. I'd love to see him run.
Really?
Who actually is
Moonbeam?
I'd love to see him run. Oh, I don't think there's anybody out there that's going to be able to beat Trump. I really don't. And I think because he's got one campaign under his belt for the presidency, he knows a lot more. One thing you can say about him, he learns. And I think he's learned a lot of valuable lessons. And I don't think he's going to be – he was a little, I don't say soft, but he didn't play hardball the way other people did. And I think this time he would really kind of be a little bit more aggressive in the way he would – address anybody who comes against him on the left. I'd love to see Cory Booker go up there, because I think he'd shred him. The same thing with Elizabeth Warren. I think anybody from the left that gets out there, he's going to pretty much shred.
I certainly will agree with you. He's gotten much more comfortable in the job. He really has become much more presidential, and I think that's what you're saying. He's really grown into the job.
Absolutely. And he does. He's been doing really good on. Everybody's watching what the right hand's doing. Actually, I should say left hand, because he signs with his right. Everybody's watching what the left hand's doing, and with his right hand, he's just signing stuff. He's getting a lot done while everybody's talking about the rhetoric and looking at the bombastic. My fiance and I have been unfriended by several people that we went to school with and stuff, because you can't talk politics with them. These are liberals. They don't want to. They can't defend their arguments. They don't want to talk about policy. It's just Trump hates, and this. It's like, well, where do you see that he hates? Well, he just talks about. Give me examples, because all the hate that I see is coming out of the left. All the people that I see talking about hate are over here on this side that are representing the Democrat Party. And when somebody on the right, quote right, or the Republican Party that comes out spewing hate, the Republican Party shouts them down and says, no, you don't represent the Republican Party. David Duke. There have been many examples of people who have come out on the quote-unquote right who spew forth hatred and racism and that kind of stuff, and we won't have it in our party. However, they will.
Victor, I got to let you go, but you've been terrific, and you gave me an idea for tomorrow night. You have a great night.
You're welcome. Cut me a check.
Yeah, it wasn't that good an idea. It was just okay. Well, I've done this before, but I want to hear, I won't do it tonight, about those, because you said it, unfriended, that the other side is so intolerant. I had a guy, I used to have a show, local show, where I did two Democrats versus two Republicans every week, and everybody got along well, and some became best of friends. But there was one guy, he moved away from California, and he, on Facebook, not just to me, to everybody, said, anybody who could support Donald Trump is no longer a friend of mine, and I'm unfriending you. So I think I'm going to do that, at least throw it out there last night. I want to hear those stories and what you've done. Some of them are really sad. People have lost their whole family, or certainly you better not do it at Thanksgiving, but maybe we'll do that tomorrow night. For tonight, who's your choice for president, at least for now, and who could you have a cup of coffee with? Don't cheat and bring up people who are not running. That made it a little bit of a challenge. You just can't pick Joe Lieberman. He's not running. 866-90-RED-EYE, 866-907-3339, Mark Eisler on Red Eye Radio.
In addition to being required by law, pre- and post-trip inspections are vital to the safety of professional drivers. Conducting thorough pre-trip inspections allows you to catch any problems before heading out on the road. Post-trip inspections give the shop time to react to any problems that were identified. During your next pre- or post-trip inspection, check to make sure your fifth wheel is securely attached and free of any excessive wear. The trailer kingpin must be latched properly in the jaws of the fifth wheel. Also, check to make sure your safety chains are attached properly. TA Truck Service understands the importance of these inspections. If you find any issues during your own pre- or post-trip inspection, stop by a location near you to have your vehicle looked at by one of our expert technicians.
This maintenance tip is a service of TA Truck Service Road Squad. If you break down, we show up. Call 800-924-SHOP.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
Mark Eisler back with you again, 866-90-RED-EYE. That's 866-907-3339. Let me know your choice for president and who you might sit down and have a Coke with or a glass of water if things are really bad. You guys are good, though. Let's go to Daniel in San Diego. Daniel, you're on with Mark.
Hey, Mark. How's it going, buddy? Good to see you back.
I called in
when you were working on the Serena issue. We were talking about it, and so it's good to talk to you again.
Thanks so much.
I wanted to back up to something you had said earlier. I believe you were referring to something somebody said about this is the times that we live in. And I hear that a lot, and it's not that I'm trying to argue with you or disagree with you, but I think we're looking at it in a different sense that I think it's not really that. I don't think that's the case. I think it's more of it's the media so emboldened and they're out there. They don't care now. They're not even trying to hide what tent that they believe in, and they don't care. And so because of that, they get so many weak-minded people that just buy into that garbage. And that's why they have this perception of this is the times we live in. But it's not really that. I think it's just the media is so abusive. But I want to get your take on that.
Yeah, wow, you made a point I should have brought up. Thank you, Daniel. The influence of the media, you're right. First of all, they don't hide how they feel. I don't know why I think of an entertainer. When I used to watch Johnny Carson, I never knew his political point of view. I suspect he was a Democrat or liberal, but he never had it out there. Now, again, he was a comedian. But the media plays such a powerful role because so many people, that's all they hear, right? The major news channels, not so much right now that we have more, the blogs and the internet and all that stuff, talk radio. But they play such a big role, and they have an agenda. Who's the guy from CNN, the character that it's always trying to get something on Trump? I can't even think of his name.
I don't want to say his name.
You don't want to say his
name. He's not worth being mentioned.
Brian, my producer, was saying Don Lemon. You know who I mean, right? And he wants the publicity.
Yes.
And they don't. You're right. They don't even hide their bias anymore. They don't hide their bias. They act like advocates, and they're not journalists.
But the problem I have with it is that this is supposed to be a country that has room for all people, all political parties, and they're making it all about them, and that's really an immature point of view and way to perceive and look at things. It means that you can't include other people, and that's not what America's about.
I got to answer you, but I got to answer my producer who just told me, he said, Anderson Cooper. No, because I thought of it, Jim Acosta, and you didn't want me to give him publicity, but that's the guy, and he loves it. It's about him. And so I'm playing right into it. You knew the name. I know you didn't, but I'm showing my producer he doesn't have it because he's told me two names now. He got it wrong. But there's so many of them. He's actually right? They want to take on the role of being powerful, too, and making the news. They're not supposed to do that. It was never like that. So you are complimented, Daniel. You win the prize. Oh, we're going to run out of time. Who are your choices for president, real quick?
I like Trump.
Okay, I know, but you were supposed to do the other side. Who could you have a cup of coffee with on the other side?
On the other side. Okay, let me see here. I would go with, the Manchin, only because I want to see how much he would lie. Joe Manchin.
He hasn't announced. I don't think he's running. The rule was they have to at least be running. You guys, I didn't make it clear, so it's my fault. 866-90-RED-EYE, Mark Eisler on Red Eye Radio.
Phone lines are open. 1-866-907-3339. 866-90-RED-EYE. Now, for Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, Mark Eisler.
Yeah, it's Mark back with you again, and Eric and Gary will be back with you Sunday night and Monday morning. And this is a lot of fun getting to talk to you guys. Let's go to Chris in Washington, D.C. Chris, you're on with Mark.
Hey, Mark. Good show. Interesting topic. I'm going to try to follow the rules. I told your screener or producer that I would pick Sherrod Brown, the senator from Ohio, because I figure he's like the most moderate. But then I was thinking probably Joe Biden, too, because right now, I guess the polls say he's one of the front runners. And one of the things that I've noticed on the other calls is everybody, you know, is talking about wanting Trump to go against the people we know he's going to beat, like, you know, Booker or Senator Warren, Pocahontas. But I just don't want us to make the same mistake the Democrats did. They wanted Trump to win the Republican primary because they were so sure that they could beat him. So when I look at it, I really want Trump to win 100%, 110%. But I also always think about it like, well, there's always a chance he's not going to win. And if he doesn't win, then, you know, I want the best Democrat to win. So I think either Brown or Biden would probably do the best job, and they'd be interesting to talk to. But I'd rather have a cup of coffee with you any day.
Oh, wow, that is nice. I got a friend who, let's see, he's got a communications director, I think, in the health department. And I got a son in Dover, Delaware, so you and I will have to meet when I go see my son. But that's really nice of you. And you are really good because you said that you wanted to follow the rules. That makes you number one. I think you're the only one who followed the rules. You're it, Chris. Thank you so much, and thanks for your kind comments. Appreciate it.
Okay, well, I want that other caller's check. You're going to send him. Just send it to me.
Wait, I don't remember offering a check. What do you mean? I don't get paid that much to offer a check.
This really that's weird. That $1 million check for Pocahontas. That's it. I'll take that one.
Yeah, I'm just like Trump. I'm denying what I said. Thanks, Chris. You have a great night. I didn't mean to pick on Trump. He gets out of everything. I think he was right on that one, that he offered it if she could prove she had Indian blood or she would. They never went over the percentage. So that's a tough one. That might have to go to court. If it was really justice, to use a pun, Kavanaugh would get that case. No, he doesn't get any cases. They all vote. Actually, they do. They get certain areas where I think they get to rule on certain cases. But he did follow the rules. I'd like the rest of you to follow the rules. Otherwise, there's no point. Lee in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. You're on with Mark.
Hello, sir. Elizabeth Warren is an idiot. She claimed that they said that she's 1/1000th of Native American.
Somewhere out
I
there.
I think
yeah.
I got more than that in my system, and I don't claim to be Native American at all. And more and more, as the days, weeks, and months go by, and then the years go by, I have a new distrust for the Democrats. I don't understand. It's correct when I hear that they don't want to talk about the issues, and I think I remember correctly that when Hillary was running for the White House, the Democratic Party didn't want her speaking about the issues because they knew that she was so ill-informed, incompetent, and such. And I don't understand how this country can pick a Democrat for any position that will not talk about the issues, who will do nothing but call somebody racist, homophobic, misogynistic, and this kind of stuff. They get nothing done when you don't speak about the issues. No work gets done. That's what this country needs, people to speak about the issues, and then problems can be fixed. The country can be fixed of its ills, although right now, I think it's going in a very good direction with Trump. I hope he gets reelected. But if he wasn't running, I would love to see somebody that I think is brilliant. Newt Gingrich is a brilliant man. And if Trump wasn't in the White House, or Pence's would be good also, because I think he's learned a lot. But I would, my third pick would be Newt Gingrich. As I said, he's brilliant. And thanks for letting me speak. And I'll hang up and listen.
No, no, no. You got to tell me who you'd have coffee with on the Democrat side.
Probably Elizabeth Warren to try to talk some sense into her stupid head about her claim of being Native American first.
All right. You got out of it that way. It's supposed to be a friendly cup of coffee. It wasn't supposed to be an angry cup of coffee. You guys don't like the question, some of you. But he had certainly had some good points there, which reminds me, I want to give my markeislershow.com is where you can check out my website. And for Chris in Washington, D.C. or anybody else, you can email me at markeisler@aol.com, markeisler@aol.com. Do it, Chris, because who knows, ever go out to Washington, D.C., love to meet a lot of people out there. Let's go to Joe in Southfield, Michigan, probably. Yeah, Southfield, Michigan makes sense to me. Am I right, Joe?
That's it. Hey, I just think a good Democratic opponent for Trump would be Jesse the Body Ventura. I just think it'd be very entertaining. They're both the same size, so you wouldn't need a box on the podium, and it'd just be fun to watch.
You're being tough. All right, to be fair, as my producer pointed out, I got to compliment him. No one's announced officially, I don't think, and therefore it's a list that I saw somewhere. So you're right. All of you are right. If you want to come up with someone that hasn't announced, except it'd be nice if they made some sounds like they were running. So it's okay. You could do Jesse Ventura. What's he up to these days? I don't even know.
No, I'm not sure. They just had some stuff on the internet here where he's been hinting around at different talk shows.
Yeah, that he may be running, huh? Yeah, I didn't know that. All right. Who would you have coffee with? You're done. Okay. You kind of answered that, Jesse Ventura. Let's go to Gigi in Washington, D.C. You're on with Mark.
Hi, good evening. Thank you for taking my call, and thank you for helping out the guys, giving them a little bit of time. I just want to say I love my country, and I respect my president. That's the first thing. And I don't think this country can go anywhere without helping Donald Trump do what he's doing. I don't even know how he's accomplishing what he's accomplishing with both hands tied behind his back already, and he's doing it. And it's because he owes nobody anything. This deep state problem is only, I think, going to be solved by making people accountable. We need an FBI, we need a CIA, and we need a justice system that makes us not a third world country. I mean, there's a laundry list of things that Hillary Clinton could go to prison for, as well as her husband, as well as her daughter. And starting with Barack Obama and down to the lowliest person working in the White House right now under this administration, they need to be held accountable. And by that, I mean they need to go to jail and they need to give up their money, because money is what gives them the power. And without the money and without the power, they're nothing. And we need to start taking this seriously. My God, the man Joe who called ages ago about, you know, what are we teaching our children? I stand on the platform right next to him, everything he said twice, because my tax dollars are going to these colleges and giving these communists tenure. They're teaching our children to hate our country, to hate America. And now we wonder why the country's the way it is, because nobody's been taught civics. Nobody knows how the government works. They've dumbed them down. That's like the way they like them. These kids need to be sent, instead of being sent to Paris, you know, to do their thing in college, they need to be sent to Cuba. Send them to Cuba or to Venezuela and see how that works out for them, that socialist life.
Yeah, but they don't know that, right? No, you're
exactly.
good. But they
and neither does. Why doesn't Kaepernick go down there and play football and see how that works out for him?
Yeah.
People are just uneducated.
You know, I mentioned Bruce Hairston last night. One of the things he said on my show years ago was every generation has to learn what makes America exceptional over and over again. Because certainly if the schools aren't doing it, and Barack Obama and Bill Ayers knew that, if they could indoctrinate the kids, get them early enough, they'd have future generations of voters. But you're absolutely right. They, except for people like me, they never hear the other side. I get both sides. They don't even know what party I'm in. But they never hear what makes this
country special. Bernie Sanders
shouldn't
even run for the office of President of the United States. The man is a pure communist. I mean, and what's your name? Hillary Clinton is Saul Alinsky personified. I mean, so was Barack Obama. Why do we want these people to turn this country into what Venezuela is?
Right.
Why?
Because you're asking me. I'm on your side.
To it.
Well, people don't understand. They don't know how evil communism was. They don't know. Remember, I quoted Michael Moore that he said we got to get rid of capital. Let me just finish.
Facebook.
Wait. Hold on. Hold on one second. I quoted – yeah, that's okay. I quoted Michael Moore when they said to him – he said he doesn't want capitalism. They said to him, so what would you replace it with? And he said, we haven't found it yet. So even there – some of the people who are prominent don't even – yeah, that's what he said. But you're absolutely right. Because they've never heard the other side, and they young people think today that socialism is wonderful. They have no clue.
Because they've been taught that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm sure you were taught civics in school, too. You were taught how the government works, the three branches. We had to learn that. We had to run a court case. These kids today, they don't. I mean, man in the street. I mean, they ask people these questions, and they don't have a clue, not a clue, and they're voting in the next election. I mean, maybe there needs to be certain criteria for being able to vote. Maybe you need to be a landowner, have a stake in this, you know, have a dog in that race in order to vote. I mean, you come to my country. I want you to speak our language. I want you to assimilate. You can have your culture. We're delighted to have your culture. But this is America. If you want to be here, assimilate. Learn my language. Don't make me learn yours.
Yeah, but the government's made it too easy, so they don't have to learn our language. You are good. Thank you very much, and hang in there, because you know we can turn it around. And certainly Donald Trump is come at the right time, let me tell you that, because if Hillary had gotten elected, God help the United States of America. Thank you very much. And we'll take the rest of your calls. Let me know what you think, 866-90-RED-EYE. We're deciding, you know, you're helping us choose who should be on the Democrat side for president. And maybe, I didn't ask her, I think she was a little too angry. I don't think she would have said anybody, but who you might have coffee with and sit down, and even though you didn't agree with them. 866, as I said, 907-3339, Mark Eisler on Red Eye Radio.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
Chrysler, back with you again. We're taking your calls, but it's turned into who you'd have coffee with. Forget about who's running, but let's go to Joe in Cape May, New Jersey. You're on with Mark. Joe, it's your chance.
Yeah, hi, how you doing? I just wanted to bring up the candidate of Mark Cuban. To sit down and have coffee with as a Democratic nominee, potentially. I know there was some chatter about it this year. I haven't heard anything recently, but I thought that would be an interesting cup of coffee.
Although I think he was going to run as a Republican, but I could be wrong.
He was talking about running as a Democratic nominee, if I'm not mistaken. No?
You may be right. I don't know. Yeah, go ahead.
I know it'd be somebody that would be interesting to talk with, hear different perspectives or point of views.
Okay, I appreciate your call. And I think that's what you wanted to say. Yeah, he's a character. What's the TV show that he does? Shark something? Shark Tank? I don't know. I don't follow TV that much. But he's a character, right? I do know him in the sports field, and he's always getting on the court, a pretty obnoxious. He wants to be involved, and he's got an attitude problem. So, I don't know. I think he'd have problems winning, but what do I know? But, yeah, he'd be an interesting guy. Very successful. I'd like to know how he became so successful. What did he do? And, you know, that kind of thing. So people like that are always interesting to me. But remember the rules. He fits. So you did qualify because he's one of the people that has expressed some interest. There's been talk about him. That's the rule. There's got to be some talk about them, some interest that they've shown in running for president, and who you might like to have coffee with. Let me know what you think. 866-90-RED-EYE, 866-907-3339. I am Mark Eisler, sitting in for Red Eye Radio.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. For Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, Mark Eisler, this is Red Eye Radio.
Mark Eisler back with you again, and some of you appear to be waking up, or in a sense, maybe not in a sense, because you got to follow the rules. It's got to be someone who's running for president, who your choice on the Democrat side, and they had to have expressed interest. Can't be someone who hasn't expressed any interest. That's not part of the rules. So here's who I mentioned, and it doesn't mean like you guys are right. Mark Cuban has expressed some interest. I didn't have him down. So the Spartacus Booker and Attorney General Holder, Bernie Sanders, Pocahontas, Joe Biden, Kirsten Gillibrand, Connecticut Senator Chris Murphy, former Virginia Governor Terry McAuliffe, Massachusetts Governor Deval Patrick, Ohio Senator Sherrod Brown, Andrew Cuomo, Governor of New York, Mayor Mitch Landrieu probably of New Orleans, Mayor Eric Garcetti of Los Angeles, Oprah Winfrey, I don't know if she's serious, Lawyer Michael Avenatti, Montana Governor Steve Bullock. Who's your pick? And number two, who would you like to have coffee with? The point being that you don't agree with them, but you think they might be a nice person. And I mentioned in one of the hours, I thought that could be true of Bernie Sanders, that, you know, as far out as he is, maybe you could have coffee with him. I don't know why you guys find that so repulsive. I think Bernie's a possibility. Let's go to, I didn't know that was true. Let's go to Aaron in Raleigh, North Carolina. You're on with Mark.
Yes, hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, you know, you hear talk about how Trump's the first celebrity president, and honestly, I might have caught bits and pieces of The Apprentice or Celebrity Apprentice, but I never sat down and actually watched a show. I don't see him as a celebrity president. I see him as a billionaire real estate mogul and a very smart businessman, made in one of the toughest real estate markets in the world. But that being said, I guess he might be a celebrity because he had this show and stuff, I guess, what, 12, 13 years. I'd like to sit down and have coffee with Tom Hanks. I believe he expressed interest. It might have been on his monologue at SNL last year sometime. But, you know, he'd be a celebrity Democrat potential candidate if he decided to run, maybe not this time, but maybe later on in the future. The only problem I see that for the Democrats is he's just going to be reading the script of the Democrat Party. Donald Trump has ideas of his own and has run his own business. Actually had substance to run under, not just I'm a good actor.
Yeah. And further, you know, one of the points I'd make is I don't know why people are so impressed with actors and actresses to begin with. They're just reading, you know, pretending to be someone else. I'd never understand that, why people rush up to them and they want their autograph. I get it. We can always do a thing on fame versus importance. I've done that. Just because someone's famous doesn't mean they're important. But I understand. You know, he's appeared in some good movies. Let's go to Ray in Portland, Oregon. You're on with Mark.
Hi, Ray. Hi, Mark. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes.
And I'm going to stick to the rules.
Yeah, first, I'd like to say I'd like to have coffee with Kamala Harris or Cory Booker. I'd like to preface that because I believe I could have a friendly conversation with them. But I first like to preface that with, first, you know, progressives and, you know, who are now socialists, they're delusional because, you know, they believe, you know, they want to have unrestricted abortion. They want to have open borders. They believe in the myth of white privilege. And so, you know, I can go down the list of all of the delusional things that have no standard backing behind it in logic or basic thinking behind it. None of that's true. But where I believe I can sit down and have a conversation with Kamala Harris or Cory Booker is the fact that they say that black conservatives don't speak for the black community. And here's where the conversation I would have with them is that that's not true because I speak for the black community. I'm a black conservative, and numerous blacks have become conservative as a result of me sitting down, discussing topics with him, with them, the issues with them, and they become black conservatives. So I actually do. And in fact, now black conservatives are over 23% for Trump. So it's growing. So the fact that that's not true when they say that black conservatives don't speak for the black community. And I believe that I can sit down with Kamala or Cory Booker and have a decent conversation about that.
Yeah, I don't know if they'd be open to it. By the way, I don't think it's 23% because if it was, the Democrats would be finished. Because they're pulling like 90, 91, 95%, depending on who it is. So I don't think it's 23%. I wish it was.
Actually, there was a poll out just recently and said that it was over 20. So,
really?
Yeah. So it went up, especially since Kanye West has come out. First time he came out, it went up 6%. And since the meeting last week, it went up 21 or 22. So
maybe he could.
I can't right now quote the polling source right now, but you know I didn't bring that with me, but it's going up. That's a fact. It's definitely going up, and everyone.
I think you're right. But the problem is, the Democrats, if you were even close to being right, there's the end of their majority ever. Because they take the blacks for granted.
I can talk to them by name, the people that I have talked to in the so-called community that they talk about that we don't speak for that actually have become conservative. Because anyway, you know, once you become conservative from a liberal, you're still black. So, you know, it doesn't change your color. What it does is it changes your views. So, you know, them saying that doesn't have any validity to it. You know, it doesn't change the culture of a person because he changed views. You know, I still like soul food. I still listen to Motown songs. You know, I can go on and on about the cultural things that I still do. I just have different views and on the different issues and the policies that I believe are for me. It has nothing to do with any color. And so I believe I can have a civil conversation with him based on that.
Yeah, I think you'd be good enough to have a civil conversation, but I don't think Cory Booker would be open to it, and I don't think Kamala Harris would be open to it. You have more faith in them than I do. But you know what you made me think
of? Well, you wanted us to pick somebody that we thought running for president, and both of them said, Kamala Harris and Cory Booker said they're running for president, that we can sit down and have a civil conversation, a friendly conversation with. I think I could.
Right. No. In fact, I'm complaining. You're the only one to follow the rules, and I'm complaining. I have a lot of nerve. You did a good job. You know what you remind me when you said your culture wouldn't change? You know, when many blacks go to Africa, they think they're going there and they'll have something in common with the Africans. But a lot of African people don't see them as black. They see them as Americans. And that's what they have in common. And
Well, I have a lot of African friends that have come over here, a lot of them within the past 5-6 years. because I know a church that I fellowship with sometime that are Africans, and they say they're not African Americans, they're Americans now. And I say those mm-hmm. are the real African Americans, okay? But they don't even claim to be African Americans. They say that they're Americans. So I mean,
that's terrific.
Yeah. So anyway, thank you very much. Maybe I can get part of that chat since I really did follow the rules. And you came up against me to follow the rules.
That's right. I mean, I'm impossible. But what check did I offer? I don't even remember. I feel like Donald Trump. Is your name Avenatti?
Oh, my.
I'm sorry. Sorry to insult you. Okay, Ray. Yeah, that name. The guy knows how to get publicity, right? The lawyer for Stormy Daniels. But what a character. I don't know if you saw it. I actually watched it when he was debating Tucker Carlson on Fox. And he was calling him all kinds of names, and it was something else. But the guy is sleazy. He really is. And you saw that was in the news that Trump won that case, and they're going to appeal now, but whatever. All right, so he was absolutely right, although I admitted it. Here I am, someone who finally followed the rules, and I'm picking on. No, I was just trying to say, you think that Cory Booker would sit down with you. You follow the rules, you're right, you pick someone you want to have coffee with. But you think that guy who's so full of himself, that blowhard, had a Spartacus moment and he made that up? Or Kamala Harris, it's so obvious what they're doing. They're just grandstanding and were at the Kavanaugh hearings. They didn't really care about that woman. You think they I can't read people's motivations. But it was about themselves. It was about getting power. It was about getting publicity because they're running for president. I don't think they – I bet you they don't keep in touch with her. If you really cared about her, maybe you'd keep in touch a little bit, say, how are you doing? I know this was traumatic. I don't believe it for a second. It was about themselves. All right, you know the rules of the game, and even if you follow it, it sounds like I'm going to pick on you. Let me know what you think. 866-90-RED-EYE, 866-907-3339. Mark Eisler sitting in on Red Eye Radio.
One of the two areas of the country that is warmer than normal and dry at the moment is the Southeast. The other one?
The Far West.
But Agriculture Department meteorologist Brad Rippey says the problem with warm and dry weather could be a deadly one for the West.
And in Southern California in particular, we've got low humidity levels that have returned, along with gusty winds coming from inland, blowing offshore. And everybody knows that means that we're moving into the Santa Ana fire season. And certainly we have a potential event going on right now in terms of wildfire activity. All the conditions are there, and all it takes is a spark at this point to create great problems.
And speaking of sparks, some Southern California power companies are reportedly shutting off power in some places
to prevent lines coming down on brush and trees.
Winds can bring the lines down, one spark from live cables, and you've got a major fire in no time. Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture, Washington.
The USDA report is sponsored by Cenex Roadmaster XL Premium Highway Diesel Fuel and Shell Rotella.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
Chrysler, back with you again, and we're taking your calls about who your choice for president would be on the Democrat side and who you'd like to have coffee or a drink with. And it's been very hard for people to pick someone on the other side, which is a statement of the times that we live in, that people are so angry on both sides that they couldn't even sit down and have a cup of coffee with them. All right, so that's the order of the day, and you're supposed to pick both. You have two choices there to make. Let me know what you think. And you can call in at 866-90-RED-EYE, 866-907-3339. And we go to John in Seattle. John, you're on with Mark.
Hi, Mark.
Hi.
Mark, are you there?
I'm here.
Yeah. My thought is that John Kasich, I believe he ran for president as a Democrat. And
no,
I
Republican.
That,
Republican, yeah.
He did. Oh, boy. Well, he balanced the budget. And, you know, whoever can balance a budget, that's who I think should run against Trump. You know, ever since 2008, we've had quantitative easing. We've had just government spending that's gone on and on and on with no end in sight. And somehow, you know, somebody's got to pay the piper on that sooner or later. And I think if somebody could make a case to show that they really know how to balance a budget, that would be who probably would stand a chance against Trump. Although I probably wouldn't vote for him. I'm pretty much of traditional values. Conserve, you know, it's to me a word that is consistent with conservative. And, you know, if it works, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. You know, if something works, it's a good thing. The person I have coffee with is Nikki Haley. I believe she has an intellect that has a global perspective, and I have a degree in anthropology, and I would really like to sit down and talk to her about where she thinks we stand in the family of nations on this smaller and smaller planet, that we have to learn to get along with each other. And so those are a few of my thoughts. What do you think, Mark?
Well, first of all, mentioning Nikki Haley is amazing because the lady has surprised me. I thought she was okay as governor of South Carolina, but she's been a phenomenal ambassador to the United Nations, really letting them have it, and very courageous, not being afraid to say it like it is. She's a very impressive lady. I think she's going to run for president. Maybe, you know, obviously not this time, but in the future.
I think we need to have someone with a very large perspective on who we are as a nation and where we can be a good companion, a good neighbor, a good partner in the global perspective. I think that's very important. So thanks for letting me have those ideas.
Well, hold on one second, because I'm going to ask you your answer to the coffee question. But I don't like John Kasich. There's something about the guy. He didn't come across well. He did run as a Republican last time against Trump and the others. There's something about him that irritates me. I don't agree with him on everything. He's a little too liberal for me, and that's fine. That's neither here nor there. But there's something personally about him. I think he's arrogant. I think it comes across that way. And I've heard some things about him. I had a former producer of my television show who said something about women or something like that. That was years ago, so that's not fair. That's a rumor. But something about that guy that rubs me the wrong way. But you don't feel that way. You like him.
Well, I like the balanced budget. I mean, man, we can't go on with the kind of spending. I mean, I love this country, and we have a lot of good programs like agriculture, and, you know, we need to defend ourselves. And you know, we just can't keep going on every time somebody has another lobbyist that, you know, wants something that they just get it because they give enough money for the next campaign. I mean, that's both sides of the aisle, you know, and it's just been going on and on and on. And it can't go on forever. I mean, when you get to the point where the debt is bigger than the gross national product, you know, theoretically that's bankruptcy. And we gotta find a way. You know, we got to find a way to have a better, reasonable expectation about what kind of government spending we can have in this country.
One of the things I always say is people do not understand that the government has no money of its own. You'd be surprised, maybe, how many people think, oh, remember that woman during the Obama campaign, the first one said, Obama's going to pay for a mortgage and pay for a gas. And they said, where's he going to get it from? Out of his stash? Out of his stash. Yeah. You know, they have no clue. Out of his stash, right? He was going to personally pay it. So people don't know that basic concept that the government has no money of its own. Thank you very much for your call. Very well said. And I appreciate it very much. And we'll take the rest of your calls at 866-90-RED-EYE. But right now, your national forecast for OmniTrax.
Weather highlights around the nation today. Persistent rain is expected for the next few days over Texas, where excessive rain is possible in the central part of the state. Wintry precipitation over the higher elevations of Arizona and New Mexico is expected to spread northward into the central Rockies. temperatures 20 to 40 degrees below normal from the southern plains into the southern Rockies under persistent clouds and precip. Santa Ana winds in southern California over the next several days should gradually abate. Around the horn, we've got New York City checking in with sunshine for later today and 60 the high. Chicago only 47 today. Atlanta 71 with showers. Dallas showers and 59. Now, that'll beat yesterday's high of in the high 40s for Dallas. Los Angeles will see sunny skies, high today 82. And there's a look at your national forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
And I'm Mark Keisler, and I want to know who you think should be the Democrat nominee for president and who you could sit down and have some coffee with. I think that'd be a good idea. 866-90-RED-EYE. Mark Keisler filling in on Red Eye Radio.
Phone lines are open. 1-866-907-3339. 866-90-RED-EYE. Now, for Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, Mark Keisler.
Yeah, Mark is back with you again, and I'll be with you for another two nights. And Eric and Gary will be back with you on Sunday night and Monday morning. And we've been taking your calls on your choice for the nominee for on the Democrat side against President Trump in 2020, and who you might want to sit down and have coffee with, even if you don't support that side. And you guys have done a pretty good job at that. I did have a list of names, but you're kind of extending it. And as one caller, actually, as I pointed out, even when you follow the rules, I gave someone a hard time. So let's just do it your way. Who says do it your way? Is that McDonald's? I have a story about fast food restaurants. That'll have to wait till tomorrow. Burger King, I think you can do it your way. Is it In-N-Out? I'm trying to. We'll have to do that. Burger King. I was right the first time. All right. Let's go to Tim in Caldwell, Idaho. You're on with Mark.
Hey. Good morning, Mark. How are you?
Good morning to you.
Yes. I'm a 110% Trump supporter, but I think Trump will be the president for the next 6 years. But if I had to vote on one of them, it would probably I like Joe Manchin. Actually, I was pretty impressed with him after he voted for Kavanaugh, after he knew he was going to get a bunch of drama from all the other Democrats, and he still did it. So that, I give him kudos for that. So that's who I would love to have coffee with and sit down and just pick his brain away and see where he wants this country to be in 6 years from now. You know, see where he would like it to be.
You want to hear something That's negative about first. That? Yeah, you want to hear something negative about that vote? That there was some talk that once Susan Collins came out for Kavanaugh, then Manchin felt safe voting that way. He certainly wasn't, I don't know if this is true, but this is what I heard, he certainly wasn't going to be the one that put Kavanaugh over. But once Collins made her speech and came out and said she was going to vote for Kavanaugh and it was obvious that he was going to win, then Manchin was comfortable doing that. Now, you know, that may be true, may not be true. Of course, he seems like a nice guy.
I did hear that.
You're right. You did hear it too. Right. Okay, good.
I did hear that, and that's one of the things I'd want to pick his brain about. Just that in general, just to, you know, kind of ask him the question, why did he vote the way he did, and just to hear his complete answer, because he really didn't give an answer. I mean, he just basically voted for him, and I was pretty impressed with, I mean, the Democrats. I knew he was going to take a bunch of crap from the Democrats. I mean, everyone does if you say anything negative towards them. I just like to set him down and just nitpick at him and just see what he's really got going on in his head.
Although, again, I'm being hard on him, and I shouldn't. He seems like a nice guy, as I just said. The fact is, Trump did win, by 40 points or something ridiculous in West Virginia? So did he really have much choice? Yeah, and we've been talking also the last few nights about the Senate and the House races, and he may keep his because of what he did, right? People may feel the way you just said that, hey, he was courageous and he did vote for Kavanaugh. So here we are, or at least I am being unfair. Maybe he really felt that way, would have always voted that way. There was no cooperation, all that kind of stuff. But there are other senators like, what's her name, Heidi Heitkamp, whatever her name is. She's in big trouble. And, in fact, the way it looks is the whole Kavanaugh fiasco has helped the Republicans because the Democrats were always upbeat. They were always ready to go out there and do anything they could to go against Trump. But now you've got Republicans motivated. And, in fact, if Kavanaugh hadn't won, I think they would have been so demoralized it would have been worse. But our problems, Tim, are in the House of Representatives because it is quite possible that the Democrats could take back the House. And as I've said for the last few nights, if they take back the House – the Kavanaugh hearing will pale in comparison to what they'll do trying to impeach Kavanaugh, trying to impeach Trump with hearings, with subpoena powers, with calling for their impeachment. It's not going to be fun.
No, I think it's going to get ugly, personally. If that happens, I think that nothing good will come out of that. I promise you that. That would be crazy. I mean, I honestly didn't believe anything Ford said to me. I didn't believe any of it. None of it sound credible to me. I mean, I did a lot of background on Kavanaugh, and he just seemed like the most honest. He's probably one of the best judges that are on there as of right now, in my opinion. I mean, he's got over 300. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, he seems like a decent guy, and as you start to say, over 300 opinions or whatever. But the fact is, in her case, I just think they were using her. As long as we're talking about who should run for president on the Democrat side, Spartacus Booker, and I call him that because of his own name, and Kamala Harris, they were just using that woman. Maybe she imagined it. Maybe someone did do that assault on her. All those things are possible, but they used her for their own purposes. It was disgusting to watch.
It was the horrible one. It was. It really was.
Yeah, well, that's
she
why
was
Lindsey Graham was so.
She was.
Yeah, that's why Lindsey Graham was so good when he came out and said, "I'm not going to put up with this stuff. You guys are doing this for power. You know." Now I'm paraphrasing. You ought to be ashamed of yourself, what you're willing to do. But that's who they are, and
they
that's
ought to
what,
be.
Yeah. Well, Tim,
absolutely. I'll definitely call back again.
Well, thanks so much, Tim. And, Joe Manchin would be a good pick. He seems like a decent guy. Like I said, it's not fair for me to take away some of his courage when he seems so nice and reasonable, and I think he is going to win. But someone who's less than decent, and I said I would mention this, is Hillary. I'd love to see Hillary run again. For selfish reasons, I think she is going to run again because these guys, meaning Hillary and Bill, they can't keep away from power. That's what is an aphrodisiac, people say. So, and the Democrats even have figured that out. They don't even want her to enter the fray. She's viewed as the kiss of death for Democratic candidates in the upcoming midterm election, forcing the former presidential candidate to stay low and campaign only behind closed doors. By the way, that makes sense. Because I've said on the air for many months now, you know, she's still looking to see why she lost. I think she's going to come out. I suggest that she'll come out with a book, 101 Reasons Why I Lost, and none of them will be her. Right? It'll have nothing to do with her. And I said she could join O.J. Simpson as he looks for the killer to figure out who killed his wife. But few Democrats are willing to embrace Clinton on the campaign trail, despite the party's near-universal support for her just 2 years ago. With many concerned that a high-profile Clinton presidency would only dampen the party's prospects of retaking control of Washington from Republicans. Yeah, they're worried about her. Throughout the midterm elections, Clinton has rarely rallied together with other candidates, appearing mostly at low-key fundraisers. Yeah, low-key because she can't get many people to show up. She's the kiss of the death, one party official said, telling the Washington Examiner. Democrats don't want her to campaign for them because everywhere she goes, she carries the stench of death. Well, it's worse than I thought. And is the only political figure in America that is less popular than Donald Trump, the strategist added. That's a real testament to her. Democrats were relieved after Bill and Hillary Clinton announced that their international 13-city speaking tour wouldn't begin until after November. Now, that was a clever move. I think they're measuring how they can have the best positive impact and have kind of decided to wait until after the election. That's what Dick Durbin of Illinois said. A House Democrat seconded that, saying, "When I think of people who've been part of our push to retake the House, I just don't think of them at all. I think it's a very good thing that they're not being visible. It wouldn't help our candidates." Boy, one minute you're the nominee for the Democrat Party, and the next minute they don't want to see you anymore. Maybe that's part of the problem. These guys don't know when to get off the stage. Actually, but I like that. Hillary again in 2020. I like the sound of it, and I like our possibility that she could run, you know, like our stamps. She could run forever, right? Don't we have forever stamps? Forever, Bill and Hillary could run. You never get rid of them. Actually, I could take them a lot better than Barack Obama, right? Most presidents, when they leave office, they're quiet and give that credit to George W. Bush, but not Barack Obama. He's in there. He can't sit still. He can't keep quiet. So maybe Hillary and Bill, they do have some redeeming value for those of us on our side, because if they run again, if she runs again, I think she's going to lose. I think we got to get something going on our side. Hillary for president in 2020. Tell me what you think. 866-90-RED-EYE, 866-907, same number, 3339, Mark Eisler filling in on Red Eye Radio.
How much do you know about synthetic oil? Heavy-duty trucks have been running on traditional mineral oil for the last 100 years. But today's technology brings us other options to consider. It's better quality. Unlike mineral oils, synthetic oils have a consistent molecular structure, giving it the ability to support pressures from higher horsepower engines, especially at lower RPMs. It also allows oil to reduce friction in an engine, controlling temperatures and improving fuel economy. They're cleaner. Synthetics pick up fewer contaminants as they do their job of lubrication. They also have better oxidation stability, resulting in an overall cleaner engine. Synthetic and semi-synthetic oil may be a bigger investment up front, but the benefits of its high-quality composition will pay off in the long run.
This report is a service of Shell Rotella.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll-free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
Eisler, back with you again on Red Eye Radio. Gary and Eric will be with you, back again with you, Sunday night and Monday morning. And you can keep in touch with me in any case at markeisler@AOL.com. I was thinking about the website. That's the best place to go first, markeislershow.com, because it has everything there. But markeisler@AOL.com if you'd like to keep in touch with me. And I always say that I couldn't do the show without Brian. Brian, producing the show, you never get to hear or see that part of the show, and Alan screening the calls. Couldn't do the show. We're a team. We make this happen together. So you've been very nice to me, the nice things you've said to me, but I couldn't do it without them. We've been speaking about elections all night, and I don't know if you heard, I mentioned this the other night, absentee ballot college students in Virginia have reportedly been not sending in their absentee ballots because, ready for that? We should almost have a drum roll. They don't know where to find stamps. These flakes are something else. Fairfax County, Virginia conducted a focus group this summer with college interns from across various county departments. County officials learned that college students were failing to send back their absentee ballots because they didn't know how to get a stamp. That's incredible. That seems to be like a hump they can't get across, Lisa Connors of the Fairfax County Office of Public Affairs told WTOP on Tuesday. Democrats are counting on Generation Z, many of whom recently gained the right to vote, to help turn Congress blue in the midterm elections. But 49 cents may be all it takes to keep these post-millennials from exercising their civic duty. It's amazing. See, there's always something that, you know, it's my balanced theory of life. Remind me to tell you about that. Is that what it is, by the way, 49 cents? I think it is. I use forever stamps, so I don't know for sure. I just get some. On Tuesday, officials said they are noticing a disturbing trend. Young people failing to mail in their absentee ballots because they don't know how to get a stamp. It's amazing. One thing they came up, which I heard from my own kids, but is a quote, but I thought they were just nerdy, was that the students will go through the process of applying for mail-in absentee ballot. They will fill out the ballot, and then they don't know where to get stamps. That seems to be like a hump they can't get across. These guys are really tough, and these snowflakes, they're really geniuses. Connors went on to say that many in the focus group said, quote, they knew lots of people who did not send in their ballots because it was too much of a hassle or they didn't know where to get a stamp. These guys are something else. Across the board, they were all nodding and had a very spirited conversation about, oh, yeah, I know so many people who didn't send theirs in because they didn't have a stamp. As a way to combat this abstention for the upcoming midterm elections, the county is focusing on raising awareness of in-person absentee ballot voting, which students can do while they're home on fall breaks. You know, the other problem is they don't know whether they get to vote in their college town or they get to vote where they live at home. But what do you expect from a generation that only uses the Internet? Of course, they could look up. They never thought of this, I guess. They could look up where their nearest post office is if there's a big if they even knew what a post office is. So much for the Generation Z vote. By the way, who gives these generations their names? I often think about that. So, you know, you can let me know tomorrow if you're going to vote absentee and if you know where to get stamps. That seems to be a problem. And what do you think of same-day voting? I don't want to make it easier for people to vote. I said this yesterday. I think they should care enough to go out of their way. Some people in other countries, I think it was El Salvador, have been shot while waiting to vote. I think they had purple on their the way of voting. There was some purple ink or something like that. And they would show it off with the blood because they cared that much. They knew what it meant to finally have the privilege and the right to vote. And by the way, I don't want uninformed people to vote. Why would I want them to vote? They're not going to vote on my side. It's much more complicated, much more difficult to explain capitalism as opposed to slogans like hope and pray or whatever, you know, hope and change. Sorry. I finish my show every time the same way. It's a privilege to have a microphone in the greatest country in the history of the world. Until tomorrow night, I'm Mark Eisner.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.